What is purity? How do we pray for purity? This is all about the prayers of Paul. And as Jeannie so expertly did last week, she shared on who Paul was, that he wrote over half the Old Testament. New Testament. Some people say two-thirds. Some say three-quarters, depending on Hebrews and other things. But the point you have to know is this, that Paul was instrumental in getting the gospel into the nations. He was the first one spearheading into other nations. Paul was a short kind of statue guy with bald head. All you guys with, you know, hair challenges, I just want to let you know, one of the greatest apostles of all time had the same issue. And he took it in, and he took it into Macedonia, he took it into Asia Minor. He was willing to go anywhere and do anything. He was shipwrecked three times, whipped a number of times, save one. He was stoned. He was literally killed once and was raised up from the dead, I believe. He had all sorts of issues. The devil was constantly attacking him in his flesh. He was constantly fighting, and he spread the gospel, and thousands upon thousands upon ten thousands upon millions and millions to this day have come to know the Lord because of the work that Paul did. Paul was originally Saul. He was originally one that persecuted the church, put church members in a prison, helped them be executed at times even. He even held the coats of those who stoned Stephen and killed him. The great evangelist, the deacon. And so, you know, there are so many great things. And this is the man who's saying, now look it, I have abounded and I have come to have little. I've learned to excel at everything that God gives me. And he's telling us his prayer secrets. Yeah. This is like, you just think of whatever really cool speaker you know of, you know, the ones that you would want to hear from. Paul was better. And he's sharing everything about what he knows about prayer. And so that's why when he tells us and teaches us how to pray, we need to pay attention. Amen. Today, we're just going to do one prayer. It's in Philippians 1, 9 through 11. We're going to go through that prayer, and we're going to talk about purity and righteousness. You know, a lot of people are all about, the church is all about legalism. But, you know, purity doesn't come from legalism. Purity comes from relationship.
That's right.
Legalism comes from legalism. Rules, ideas, you don't dress right, you don't have the right clothes on for church. You know, that's why we don't emphasize that thing, because that's not what purity is. Purity is when you approach God and there's something holding you back from getting closer. That's the thing that's got to come out of you. Whatever it is. When I came to the Lord, before I had that encounter, I was smoking marijuana, I was doing other things, and I stopped doing them, not because I was saved, but because I knew that I had to get those out of my life to approach God in 1979.
Yeah.
And it was just a voluntary choice. I'm like, I don't want that. That's not taking me anywhere. I don't care if it's legal or not. It wasn't taking me anywhere. It was stopping me from going towards God. There's a church somewhere down south that says that marijuana helps you get to God. Don't kid yourself for a second. That ain't true, man. That ain't true at all, because God had me give it up so I could approach him, and then I had that encounter with him.
Yes.
Purity comes from a desire to seek God's face.
Yes.
It comes from a desire for holiness.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about all these things. First, let's talk about this scripture. Let's take a good look at Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Let's go ahead and put it up on the screen. And it is my, whose prayer? Paul's prayer. It is my prayer that your love may abound. Now, I'm not covering love, because Jeannie did such a great job last week. May abound more and more. What does God want love to do in you? To abound more and more. With knowledge and discernment. Now, this is really important, because knowledge and discernment give us the ability to do certain things. Go to the next verse. It gives us the ability, next, so that you may approve what is excellent. Knowledge and discernment gives us the ability to approve what is excellent, or a better way. Amen? We're going to go through all this in more detail. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. If you don't have knowledge and discernment of God's word and what it is, you're not going to be able to approve of what is more excellent, a better way, and you're not going to be pure or blameless for the day of Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
Next verse. filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, the fruit of righteousness, we'll get more into that. But here's the thing. You must abound in love. You must grow in knowledge and discernment so that you can become pure and blameless so that the fruits of righteousness appear in your life. Now, I want to tell you something. We all go to bed thinking we're not that bad. But what really matters is, what does your neighbor think? What does your wife or husband think? Are you really having the fruit of righteousness in your life? That's the question we're going to ask today. And we're going to sit there and go, look, we want to go to that next level in God, in purity and in righteousness. Amen? Now remember, righteousness has a unique meaning. It's not like I'm better than you. It means that I'm in right standing with God. And you know something? The people that think they're better than other people are actually not. So that's kind of a deception, right? It's when you find someone who's really righteous, who's really walking in God's approval, and you'll find out that they're humble and they don't think they're better than anybody. Matter of fact, Paul said he was the worst of everyone. When you start really drawing towards God, you're not concerned about others. You're concerned about yourself. And you're looking inwardly at your imperfections. And you know that God called you being imperfect. So it's not like he expects you to be perfect in a moment, but he's taking you through a path that leads to purity, holiness, and righteousness in him. Amen? Thank God he's not judging us for the process. God understood that a process had to occur for us to get there. By the way, I want to encourage you to look at Jeannie's message last week. It's on our, it's on YouTube and on Facebook. We have a YouTube channel and we have a Facebook page. Please go check those out. Make sure you subscribe, like, hit the bell, all that stuff. You know what to do. Just smash it, would you? Just go in there and smash it. And make sure you get involved because we have some great messages out there. And Jeannie's already got hundreds and hundreds of views on a lot of her videos out there. So God's moving. And we want to just help. We want to get all that we can of that. Amen? By the way, if you're not on our private Facebook, please ask to join our private Facebook. We accept everyone. Do not advertise or, you know, we have a policy. If it's a ministry outside of FirePoint, once a week. If it's a ministry in FirePoint, you can do it twice a week. Other than that, it's not like this advertising board. It's about community and us communicating with each other, talking about things like when B went to the hospital and when other things take place so that we can all pray and support one another. Amen? Okay. Glory to God. I love knowledge. Knowledge is good, but knowledge puffs us up. But God, knowledge is good. You ever go to someone, a teacher, and you want to get that new little nugget, right? You want to get that thing that you never heard before. You want to get that thing. We love knowledge, and God wants us to have knowledge. Matter of fact, he insists that we have knowledge. But you have to stay humble with knowledge. Amen? Amen. So in Hosea, it says this. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Ooh. Wow, that's pretty scary. But what he's saying is you are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Knowledge helps us stay safe. Knowledge helps us get through life. Knowledge is important. And the word knowledge in the Greek basically means, listen to this, recognition. To recognize something. To understand what it is. When Adam was in the garden, the Lord passed all the animals in front of him and he named them. Once he named them, he knew them. Because when you can name something, you can know it.
Right.
And so when he named it, he began to know the different animals. Well, it's also important to understand that knowledge is about recognizing something. It's about full discernment and acknowledgement. You're acknowledging something. I know that my wife is an amazing wife. I know her because her name's Jeannie, and she's my wife. Yeah. And she's an amazing wife. Yes. I discern that fully. Okay. But God's not asking us just any knowledge, but specifically for the knowledge of who God is. See, there's lots of different knowledges out there. I'm going to give you some. This is a little tidbit. This is the thing you came for, okay? There's a thing coming up called, I want you to hear this, the singularity. Do you know what the singularity is? Okay, listen, it's not a good thing, but let me tell you a little bit about what it is. Right now, people are developing artificial intelligence, AI. And there's this point where there's going to be this explosion of knowledge that comes from all these programs. I'm not talking about the results there, Steve, I see your head, but I am talking about the fact that people are predicting this is coming. It's called the singularity, and it's basically instead of a linear increase of knowledge, it's going to be exponential in nature. It's just going to happen all at once. It's going to change the world, and we're just about 25 years away from where many people say it's going to happen. I don't know the exact date. 2045 is out there, 2040, 2050, but it's this point where artificial intelligence actually becomes more intelligent than us, at least in some ways. And there's people that are really for it and saying not to be in fear of it, and there's people that are saying be afraid. Watch Terminator, I don't know. But you have to understand that this knowledge is not the knowledge of God. This is the knowledge of the world, the universe, the creator. You're looking at the creation, not the creator. And see, in Romans, it tells us that that's a mistake, to worship the creation and not the creator. So this knowledge that's coming is going to be an explosion. But I need you to know that this knowledge, this discernment, this acknowledgement that's coming, right, is coming in your, and probably within your lifetime, or certainly the lifetime of a generation below us. My children will certainly see it, and it's something that they are going to have to deal with if the Lord should tarry. It's called the singularity because singularity is a word that terms for black holes. This is a place where gravity becomes so strong that star collapses, not even light can escape. You've all heard black holes, right? The laws of physics break down. None of the laws of physics work in there. And what they're saying with this knowledge, this technological knowledge increase that's coming, is that it's going to blow our world apart. That all the different laws, all the understandings we have now are going to be shaken to the core. And that's pretty interesting, isn't it? That we would be alive at such a time as this. But it's not the knowledge of God. And that's what I want you to be aware of. It's not the knowledge of who God is. God didn't make himself so difficult to understand. He made himself very plain so that everyone at every level of education, at every level of life, could understand the difference between good and evil. Amen?
Amen.
Knowledge is going to puff up, and knowledge can hurt once it takes hold of us like that. We have to be careful for what's about to happen. We have to protect our hearts. Amen? I'm not going to go any more, but I think it's interesting that the Bible actually talks about this. In Daniel 12:4, it says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase."
Wow.
So Daniel's even saying right now, knowledge is going to increase in the end times. It's going to explode, and people are going to be running back and forth trying to do things, but they've lost the knowledge of God. The knowledge that you learn here right now is more important than any knowledge that comes from the singularity that is foretold to come. And it's important that you need to know this, because I'm telling you, it's going to be very, very tempting. Amen? Has anyone ever seen iRobot? Okay, I'm just saying, there are things out there that could happen, and these are just Hollywood's imagination. But there's something real coming down the pike. Be aware of it. I don't want you to be ignorant. Amen?
Amen.
My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. What is the singularity? It's an exponential increase of knowledge that's being driven by AI. Artificial intelligence. So that's knowledge. So it says, back up in Philippians, it says, "And my prayer is that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all." Listen to this. All discernment. What's discernment? Discernment means perception or judgment. It means putting things into proper perspective, knowing what's good and what's not, knowing what's positive and what's negative, and understanding it, perceiving it, and making a judgment on it. Discernment has to do with judgment, not judgment of people, but judgment of knowledge, judgment of things that come your way. Is this good or is this bad? Just like we talked about the singularity that's coming, you have to make a judgment in your heart. Is this good for me or is this bad for me? Is this good for the kingdom of God or is it bad for the kingdom of God? So discernment's very important. Knowledge without discernment is, and that's what the world's going to experience. The world's going to experience knowledge without discernment. Think about that. They're not going to make a judgment on it. They're not going to know how to control it. They're not going to know what to do. So the Bible says, Paul tells us that I want you to pray for more knowledge and discernment in your love as it abounds more and more. And it says in discernment, Hebrews 5:14, I love this, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained. I want you to stop there for a second and think about that. To have your powers of discernment trained. How do you get it trained? By spending time in the Word of God.
That's right.
See, the world has no discernment. They've lost the ability to know good from evil. But you have that ability because you have the Word of God and you have the Holy Spirit. You have that ability to look at what's coming and to make a moral judgment on what it is. There's lots of knowledge out there that isn't good. There's knowledge of sin. There's a lot of knowledge out there. There's knowledge of war and destruction and chaos and just horrible things out there. Power struggles and wars and people being caught in the middle and families being torn apart. It's terrible out there, and we have to be able to distinguish good from evil. But solid food is for the what? The mature. Why? For those who have the powers of discernment trained by what? Constant practice. We were meant not to judge one another, not to judge people, but we were meant to judge knowledge. We were meant to judge things that come to us, to know whether it's good or evil. People just turn that and start judging people, especially when they disagree with you, which is rampant out in our country right now. Someone disagrees with us, you're evil, you're this, you're that. I don't even want to go into the names, but you know what they are. And people are just calling themselves each other things. I want to tell you, this is wrong. We should not be accusing people of things. We should make judgments of knowledge. We should have a rational thought and an explanation and a reason for the hope that's within us. But we shouldn't be judging people. Now look, if I go into a place and some guy's got a gun and he's shooting people, I'm going to make a judgment that that's bad, and I'm going to get out of his way. You see what I'm saying? And hopefully I'll have the thought to help somebody else get out of his way. So it's trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And I want to tell you something. Not everything that looks good is good. The Bible tells us that Satan comes disguised as an angel of light. Some things come to us and we think they're good and they're not good. I go on to say in here that things oftentimes will come to you and you'll sit there and you'll go, this looks like it's God. And then you'll go down the path for a while and you'll go, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. There's something not right here. There's something that doesn't make sense. This doesn't feel right. See, that's that Holy Spirit within us. We have the Word of God and we have Holy Spirit. And sometimes our knowledge of the Word or the situation is so unique that we need Holy Spirit to give us that check in our hearts, amen, to know to back away from that thing. So that's knowledge, discernment. Now I want to talk about excellence. And I love the word excellence. I think that excellence is something that we should all strive to do excellent in everything that we do. Excellence is a good thing. It's not this like, I don't want to make it like our performance standard that you have to be, because you know what? When you first start doing something, you're almost not excellent at anything. I remember when I painted my house for the first time, my dad only entrusted me with water and a brush, and that was it. And I painted that house, and it looked great. It looked different than the dry ones. And when I made it wet, it looked like fresh paint to me. See, he knew that I had to go through a learning process to be excellent. And the word excellent means to be better, be of more value, to be different from. See, there's a judgment in deciding what's excellent and what's not. To bear through, and I love this word, to transport. Mm-hmm. To transport.
Wow, really good.
And Daniel 6:3 says this. He says, then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and the satraps or whatever they're called because an excellent spirit was in him. Do you know that you have an excellent spirit within you? You got Holy Spirit. I have an excellent spirit within me. I want you to put your hand on your belly right now and say, I have an excellent spirit within me. I may let them down once in a while, but I have an excellent spirit, amen? That Spirit helps us to be excellent if we will allow it. And it distinguishes us from the others, from all the satraps or whatever they're called, because that excellent Spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. I want to let you know that when you have a spirit of excellence and you allow it to reign in your heart, people will take notice of you, and promotion and favor will come your direction. See, some of us are so much fighting with all the failures in our life rather than embracing a spirit of excellence. I love failure. I used to be a director of operations for an international telecommunications company. I had a guy once, I've told you this before, he did $250,000 error in one day. Can you imagine $250,000? CEO comes running into my office, says, fire that guy. He says, fire him now. And I says, no. No, I won't. Two reasons. One, I knew that that young man had a spirit of excellence in him. And number two, I didn't want to pay for that lesson a second time. It was expensive enough the first time. You know what? He never made that mistake again. If I had fired him, some guy would have came in, he might not have made that mistake, but he would have made some other mistake. See, sometimes you have to believe in people and allow people to make mistakes. As a pastor, I want to tell you something. That is pastoring. You allow people to make mistakes. You love them through their mistakes, and you help them after their mistakes. Amen? God's favor, this is my quote, God's favor falls on those with an excellent spirit. God's favor falls on those with an excellent spirit. You have an excellent spirit. You guys in the back there, you have an excellent spirit. You guys over there, you have an excellent spirit. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit, you have an excellent spirit. Allow that spirit of excellence to come out. Amen? Allow it to be the forefront of who you are. Look and strive to be excellent in what you do. Amen? Pray to be pure and blameless. So he gets all the way up to this point, and then he's saying, look, the reason that you want to have discernment and knowledge and excellence and to choose the excellent way is so that you can become pure and blameless. Now, I love the word pure. The word pure is so interesting in the Greek. It means to be sincere, tested as genuine. But listen to this. I love this one. It comes from the word helios, where we get the sun. It means to be judged by sunlight. Isn't that cool? Yeah. It means to be judged by sunlight. That's what being pure means. It means that you're out in the middle of something and everyone can see everything and you're being judged in the sunlight. They can see you. I want to tell you, in a bathing suit, you can't hide much. Amen? You're being judged in the sunlight. It's not exactly what I mean, but it's all right. It's funny. And then blameless means to be void of offense, no offense, without offense, inoffensive, not leading to sin, passive, faultless, not causing to stumble, not stumbling. So pure and blameless, pure because I've been cleansed, and blameless because I'm not stumbling, I'm not in sin, I'm walking blamelessly before God. We are all trying to get there. Very few, but we have stretches in our life where we do that. I don't know about you, but there's stretches in my life where I'm pure and blameless. And then something happens. And then I have to start over again. But each time I'm trying to make it a little bit longer. Amen? I don't want you to be frustrated. In 1 Peter 1:16 it says, since it is written, you shall be holy for what? I am holy, says God. I am holy, says God. We're to be holy. It's something that we're to strive for. Now that word in holy, kadosh, in the Hebrew means to be set apart for a specific purpose. God has set you apart from the world. He has set you apart from the failures of this world for a specific purpose, to be a witness, to be his example of what people can become and do. As we embrace that excellent spirit, as we imply our knowledge and discernment, as we avoid that which is evil and embrace that which is good, we are an example to the world. Be holy, for I am holy. To be set apart for a purpose. And James 4:4 says this, you adulterous people, yeeks, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, we're not talking the earth. We're talking about the world system that rejects God and rejects his instructions and his word. We are those who embrace God and embrace his word. Listen, the time is past that you can sit on the fence, that you can be lukewarm, that you can just kind of play Christianity. Jesus was not just a good teacher. If Jesus was just a good teacher, then he is a liar and cannot be a good teacher. Because he said he was more than a good teacher. He said he was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. See, people leave that out. A lot of people in the world, they like the good teacher, Jesus. Oh, he's a really smart guy. He was a good teacher. But they don't embrace his lordship. They don't embrace his kingship. They don't embrace who he truly is. And so for them, he has no power. The world is calling you to sit on the fence. They're saying, hey, it's okay if you're a Christian. Just don't get too excited about it. Just don't share it. Just don't talk about it. Don't mention it to anyone. Just, you know, you be a Christian. That's good for you. But don't you mess with our world system. I got news for you. The Christians are going to rise in these last days like never before. I'm telling you, they're going to rise up, and they're not going to be self-righteous. They're going to be Christ-righteous. And they're going to stand up, and they're going to be a witness to the world, and revival is coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. It'll start here. It'll start in many places. We're going to be right at the edge of where it's happening, and we're going to introduce a loving and kind God to a world that doesn't understand or see him. Get ready. Kenneth E. Hagin said this. He said, we walk in purity by walking in the Word and by walking in love. By walking in the Word. Why do you think I asked you to, by the way, we're going to have the Bible sign up for next week. Those that read the Bible last year, it will be up on the table next week for your mugs. The way we give out mugs mostly around here is by reading the Bible. We encourage everyone to read their Bible every year. Do the best you can. This year, I'm making a new caveat. You're going to like it. This has come my own physical problem. But you can listen to the Bible and it will count. This year you can listen to the Bible. It's a lot easier to listen to the Bible. But don't turn your Bible on and go to sleep. That doesn't count. You have to actively listen to the Word of God. But if you're having eye issues and you want a mug, I got that, you know, that Bible program on your Bible, and you just hit that and it just starts. I'm in the shower, Gene comes in, I'm listening to Philippians or Colossians or whatever, and you know, that word is just sinking into my heart, you know? And I sat there and said, why have I made it to where they have to read something? And I realized that my eyes are not getting any better as I grow older. So I was like, I think I'm going to release, people can just listen to the Bible this year, or they can read it, or they can do a little of both. So get your mug this year. It's going to be an awesome mug, I promise. This 2019 is going to be great. 2020 is going to be 2020. Come on now. Listen to your word. Okay, last area is for righteous fruit. This is the last area. Righteousness, equity, justification, right standing with God, doing that which pleases God. And as I love this verse in 1 John 3:7, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Use your discernment. Know that there are people out there who claim to be righteous and they're not. How many preachers have you heard fallen by secret sin? How many things have you seen take place out there? Immorality, stuff like that. And you sit there and you go, my God, how did I miss it? Me and Jeannie were part of this church. We were elders in the church, and there was gross moral deficiency within our leader, and we just refused to believe it. And everyone around was discerning it, and they were starting to get a little nervous, but we were like, do not bring an accusation against an elder by one witness. There must be multiple witnesses. And we stuck by this guy. We feel like the biggest fools you'll ever know. We stuck by this guy, and then finally it came out, and we had multiple witnesses that he was sleeping with a number of women in the church, some of them wives of elders in the church, not Jeannie, someone else. And it was just horrific, and we had to set him down. It was terrible, and life didn't go well for him. But I want to tell you, not everything that acts like they're righteous is righteous. We have to discern. He who practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. In Matthew 7, 15 through 20, it says this: beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their
fruit.
Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So even healthy tree bears good fruit, and the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So the whole idea is we're going to have healthy fruit coming from us as we discern good from evil, and we make a decision, a judgment of those things that are excellent. But we also have to be aware of others around us. Do not let the smoke and mirrors fool you. Look at the fruit. So people ask me, what I know, we have this person that attacks people. I'll just put it that way. We look at the fruit of his life. Everywhere this person goes, he causes strife and envy and problems and church splits and people leaving and all sorts of things. You look at the fruit of their life and you recognize them for who they are. Amen? Don't be fooled by smoke and mirrors. A lot of guys are out there proclaiming truth. They're proclaiming they're great. And then years later, you find out that they were having affairs and all sorts of things. Or they were stealing money from the church. Or they were doing some other thing. I want to tell you, don't be fooled by the smoke and mirrors. Not everything that proclaims to be of God is of God. You have to be aware. There are people out there trying to manipulate you. There are people out there. And I'm not saying like be critical, hypercritical about everyone. Just be aware. Don't turn your knower off. Allow your knower to work inside. Amen? And if your knower tells you no, then no. Amen? It's more than anointing. It's more than spiritual gifts. There's a lot of people that are anointed. We don't know what they're anointed with. There's a lot of people with spiritual gifts. We don't know what gifts they got. But it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that empowers them. It's what Spirit is empowering them. Why are they using these gifts? Why? They can be very charismatic. They can be great speakers and orators of all types and sizes and shapes. But what is behind them and what is driving them forward? You know what? We always have a tendency, like fish in the water, to go after flashy things. Be wise. Think about what you're doing. Feel with your discernment. Know through the Holy Spirit. Watch their lives. Don't just pay attention to what happens. Last thing. Last verse here, Galatians 5, 22, 23. I couldn't write about fruits of the Spirit without telling you what the fruits are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now look it, I'm not interested in what you think you're doing, but you should once in a while check around with people that know you and see how they perceive how you're doing.
That's really good. That's good.
We need each other. Yeah. Iron sharpens iron. We need each other. You know what? Sometimes I think I'm doing really great, and then my wife reminds me that, no. You need a little improvement in this area. I love you. Don't you love it when they tell you they love you? I love you, but I'm about to tell you something really bad. So, it's hilarious. Thank God for her, because she makes me better. See what? A rebuke to me is like a blessing.
That's right.
When someone rebukes me, I get rebuked a lot. You be a pastor, you like represent God to people, and they're like, oh, whatever. They point stuff out, and it's like a blessing to me, because I realize, hey, you know what? I can grow in that area. Okay, I may not like the way it feels. No one likes to be judged. No one likes to be criticized. But you know something? Turn it to the good. Sit there and go, okay, I didn't see myself that way, but they saw me that way. I need to improve. There's people that have said things to me. I love being a pastor because you get so much correction. It's just amazing. And everyone's willing to tell you where your flaws are, which is great, because that just makes me better. And I rejoice in that. I'm not encouraging you to come after the service and correct me. Thank you. But I am saying that it is a good thing when it happens. Amen? So what are we talking about? The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience. These are things that should be flowing out of us. See, when envy, strife, anger, all these other things, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. When you're driving down the street and someone zips in front of you, you're like, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. All right? When someone comes in there and says something bad to you and you respond in a poor way, that's not the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control. And you know what? These are the things that we need to be full of. Joy. Joy. Sam, if you don't know what joy is, right here. Right here is joy. No, he's fine. You're fine. Joy, peace. You know what? A person that walks in purity, peace comes from purity. When you're pure before God, when you're walking in obedience to God, there is a peace that overflows your heart. When you know you've done something wrong, you know. But when you have peace with God, you can have peace with anybody. Patience. Yes, I got married. Kindness. She got married too. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Amen. And what do others see? I'm going to invite now Greg Holland up. He has a word for us. Greg, would you come up and please share that with us? Give a warm welcome to Greg. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Greg so that you go ahead and grab that. Let me tell you a little bit about Greg. When I was deciding to plant Firepoint Church, when I felt like God was calling me and Gene into it, one of the people that I asked for a word from was this man. I literally laid it. I got a good word from you. I got a good word from people, but I literally laid it at his foot because I knew this guy. I've been there. I've been in situations with him before. I think it's this way. He thinks it's that way. He's always right. I'm always wrong. So I figured, you know what? I'm going to listen to this guy and listen to what he has to say. And he came back and gave us a great word. Everything that he says come true. So I want you to hear the word the Lord has through him today.
Yeah. Thank you.
What a nice
word. Thank you. About discernment, Hebrews 4:5-14. Discernment, you can learn it by practicing. So, for those of you that are married, ask your husband, ask your wife to help you with that. This is what you do. You go anywhere, out to eat, to the mall, or whatever, and you say, I see this about that situation. What do you see? And you can help train each other. Iron sharpens iron, and you will get better and better at discerning what is true about situations and about people. You know, I see this guy over there. This is what I'm seeing. What do you see? Father God, show me about this guy. Show me the redemptive plan that you have for him. I see that he's a mess over here, but what is your redemptive plan? And then you can speak that. But see, that's part of the discernment that you practice, and you just get better and better and better. So, many, many years ago, Genghis Khan and his Mongol horde was coming across, and their goal was to conquer Europe. Also, up from another area, the Muslims were coming, and their goal was to conquer Europe. Both of them were stopped outside the gates of Vienna, outside the border of Hungary, and outside of Romania. Well, there were a few Christians who prayed. God heard them, and every time these hordes would come to take over Europe and destroy it, God would raise up these incredibly mighty men to take the armies of Europe and fight against the ones who had come to destroy everything that God had built. So, there was this one guy. He had a kingdom. He was very wealthy. He was an incredibly brilliant general. And God used his desire to protect his kingdom, to protect the nation that his kingdom was in.
Yeah.
Not only did he protect the nation that his kingdom was in, but he kept all of Europe from being overtaken by the Mongol hordes.
That's really good.
This man was as brutal as the Mongols. Mm-hmm. You hear only about how bad he was, but you don't hear what they did, mm-hmm. how they ravaged all the women, took them as slaves, cut all the men's heads off, and left them beside the road. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not nice. But neither was this man. His name was Count Dracula.
Oh, wow.
Dracula actually saved Europe because God used his national spirit to protect his people and what they had from an incoming army. So this is the point about discernment. Sometimes God will raise up leaders who have been prepared for years to fight the army or the thing that is coming against your nation.
Wow.
But you need desperately, Christian, to have discernment to be able to pick who is the right one that God chose and who is the one that he did not.
So good.
It is so, so important. Now, this is the thing. In this time, as David was saying, the AI is going to get big, artificial intelligence, but God is raising up a million mighty men in all kinds of areas across this nation. This is just in this nation. These men will not look like what you think they should look like. They will not act like what you think they should act like. But they each have an agenda, and they have a purpose that God set in their hearts, and they're going to do absolutely everything in their power to accomplish that goal. God will prepare their way, and he will make it happen, and he will give them a voice that is louder and more powerful than all the voices against them.
Amen.
So,
good.
As we are practicing as Christians, our discernment, we need to ask, Father God,
amen.
Is this man one of those million men?
Yeah.
Is this person one of those people?
Yeah.
So anyway, Father, give us a greater anointing of discernment, a greater anointing of perception to discern the things that are right and wrong, to discern between the leaders that you have called out and the false leaders that need to be uprooted and removed. Father God, give us perception and understanding, and we just receive it now, your gift from your Holy Spirit, so that everybody that is hearing this will walk out of this room with greater perception, greater discernment than they have ever known before, in the name of Jesus.
So what I want to add is this: hearing have ears to hear. What David didn't mention is that Greg Holland is one of the most amazing prophets that we know personally. He's spot on accurate in the spirit. This was not just a message for you to hear. This was a message for you to discern. What is the Spirit saying? Because sometimes he speaks a message within a message. So for those of you that have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to you through the prophet.
Amen. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. I just want you to focus on Jesus for a moment. We're done now. Don't have to listen to me much longer. But I want you to hear from God right now. There are some people here, perhaps, you know, perhaps you're not sure about this. You're like, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, you had a visitation. I didn't have that. I'm not sure, but I want to tell you something. The best way to seek God is to ask him to come into your life, to give him permission to come into your life. It's that permission that allows him to show and demonstrate himself to you. If you're here today, you've never received Jesus, or you've fallen away and you want to make a recommitment to the Lord, this is your day. The Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. In a moment, we're going to say a prayer. And if you're ready, I want you to say it with all your heart. I want you to step in and say, God, I'm putting all my chips into you, into who you are. Everything that I am, all that I am is yours, Lord. I need you to be the Lord of my life. If that's you today, then say this prayer. Everyone say this with me. Say it now. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. And thank you for forgiving me. As I come before you, I repent of all my sins, all my wrong thoughts and actions. And I receive today your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. I'm asking you today, come make yourself real to me. Come show me who you are. I want to know you. In this time, in this era, I need you. I need your discernment. I need your knowledge. I'm asking you to be all that for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you said that for the first time, or you made a significant recommitment to the Lord, I'm going to ask you in a moment to do an act of faith, to show that you truly meant what you said. I'm going to ask you, with everyone not looking, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand high on the count of three. Don't hesitate, just raise it up and say, Lord, I'm all in. Count of three. One, two, three. Raise them up. Let me see those hands go up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12 hands went up. Let's give the Lord a clap.